It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 704. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is one word, Mike Tech Show. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on-demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can go directly to instanthousecall.com and download your trial. The show is also brought to you by Carrie Holzman and my Amazon link. The best way to support this show and to support Carrie and I and Tech Vets is to use the Amazon link in my show notes at miketechshow.com. Go there, click on that link first, then add your items to the shopping cart. And then when you check out, we actually share that small percentage, your price stays the same. This is a special show that the audio was all recorded at TechCon Unplugged in Marvin B's suite on Saturday evening. And I will let Marv take it from there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to be surprised at this show. If you want to talk about the dream team of podcasters, this is it. And let me start off by saying hello. Thank you for listening. My name is Marvin B. from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. However, I am coming at you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, site of TechCon 2019. And I am joined by some pretty fantastic guys here. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So let it roll.
Hello, everybody. This is Matt, sometimes co-host of Podnuts Pro.
from
South Louisiana.
I'm Kerry Holzman from Phoenix, Arizona.
I'm Mike Smith from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
All right. And we have gathered up here in the King Suite at the Holiday Inn Grand Rapids, just hanging out after the first full day. Just came over from Dave and Buster's, and should be an interesting little podcast. So, guys, how are we all doing?
Great. It's been a great, great convention.
No, good so far. And thoughts so far? I mean, we've had a full day. We've had a nice little cybersecurity presentation. We had.
I learned I'm not a salesman, and I definitely need more sales training. That was a good takeaway from me today, that my son and I both need serious sales training, right, so I can close more business.
All right.
Or the alternate, don't forget. If you don't want to do sales training, hire a salesperson.
I like that answer. I like that one the best.
It's a good answer.
That is a good answer, unless you just don't want to pay that salesperson. You know,
but if you want to grow.
You're right. You're right.
If you want to grow.
That salesman should be earning his own salary.
Yep. Yes. Also, big takeaway, Freedom Voice for me, for Voice over IP.
Yeah.
I'm finally on the bandwagon with, and I know anybody that listens to me, I get beat up. Because I complain I don't have a ticketing system and I don't use an RMM. And everybody keeps emailing me saying, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And finally, I think I'm pulling the trigger for Synchro. So I'll talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. Shows. This is going to be like a huge deal for you coming back from this conference. You're going to revamp your entire business
model. It is. I am regenerated. So I think you are too a little bit. Don't you feel like you can carry, like you can get more clients and more?
I did until I heard the Podnuts episode that Matt did about the client move. It was like a two-parter of everything that could possibly go wrong. I think I'm going to play that one back on the car ride home because that was so relatable. I can't tell you the smile on my face listening to your anguish.
Yes, I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yes, because I've been through it and I thought it was only me.
See, we like pain from other people.
No, it's just relatable. It's just the idea that customers often oversimplify the job that we do and have unrealistic expectations on how long a job should take.
And for me, that job wasn't that painful because
it sounded like it was.
I didn't really care that if they got up or not because they shot themselves in the foot.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I had an incident where my son was like, "Dad, we're not, you know, aren't what?" Like he was surprised I wasn't upset. I was like, "It's not our fault. We're doing everything we can. We're going to do what we can to get them up." But they didn't include us with the, you know, and now they're down. It is what it is. They didn't tell us. Right. And so it was like the calmer, gentler Mike, you know, I was, you know, right. Surprised them.
Can't let their lack of planning constitute an emergency on our part.
That's right.
Well, I know you say that, but it still happens. I've often likened the job to like a fireman. When they call you, it's like you're just sitting there staring at your phone. That's what they think I'm doing all day. Yeah. Staring at my phone.
Waiting for
ring,
a call.
Pick it up on the first ring. Just whatever. They don't even ask if I'm doing anything. Got a problem? Come here. Fix it now. And then the problem I have is clients that don't differentiate an urgent actual priority call from something that can wait. Something that is not, for them, everything's urgent all the time. My envelopes are printing upside down. Okay, turn the envelopes around. Okay, but if I do that, then the other people that print will print their envelopes. Well, for now, just turn the envelopes around and I will get to that. That's not a production stopper that I have to stop everything right. Doing. Yeah, so that's always a frustration.
Right. For them, they're binary. It's working or it's not. If it's not, make it work right now.
Well, yes. My favorite thing, especially when I have customers on retainer, so what do you do for us? Like nothing ever breaks. So why are we paying you? Or it's the opposite. Everything always breaks. Why are we paying you? Nothing works. So that's one of the frustrations I have. But so when you did that recent Podnuts where you were talking, was it Podnuts or Podnuts Pro?
Podnuts Pro.
So in Podnuts Pro, for those of you who don't, is this going out on Podnuts Pro?
Yeah, this is pretty much going out wherever you guys want to put it.
Yeah, so. This is it's going to be a Podnuts Pro, a Mike Tech Show, and a Tech Vets.
This will be a tri-branded show.
So for people that are listening to this on Tech Vets, or if I can get it up on YouTube, definitely check out these other podcasts. If you're thinking about wanting to be a technician, or if you're a tech now and you want to grow your business, or you're just looking to listen to other people that have the same frustrations or similar experiences, to help prepare you. I think it's invaluable information that all of you do. Mike, you've been doing the Mike Tech Show now. You're up to what, show like 7,823 or something?
this is probably going to be show 704.
Okay.
Wow. So
why don't we do this? Why don't we really talk about the origins of each of these shows? Because I think we may have hinted at it from time to time. And since I came in late to the game, it's a little misleading sometimes because the show has changed from the way it started. So
that's a great idea because we just figured out when we started and we were talking about that today. Well, so
why don't we start with that?
And I'm curious about the two of you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'll start because I started podcasting in March of 2005.
Okay.
So I was, thank you. So I was influenced by the Daily Source Code. What's his name? He hosted on MTV. He's the podfather, Adam Curry. So I listened to that. And then I listened to my first tech podcast, which was, Geek News Central. And he's still, you know, recording. Also, I heard Adam Curry's bringing back the Daily Source Code.
Oh, nice.
So it was just cool. And then I listened to something that I always give him credit, Kevin Devin in the Trenches, who podfaded years and years ago, but in the Trenches, I stole that line for a segment of every show that I do, which is Stories from the Trenches. But I've been doing that since March 2005. And then
you do that pretty religiously, about once a week.
Yeah, right? I was once a week, and I was even more than once a week early on.
It's pretty rare when you miss a week. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Even now. And it's been how many years?
Now, and it, we're 14 years. 14 years. On.
And you charge how much for that, Sean?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Oh, I keep banging the table.
All right. So you had started MikeNation.net.
Yes. Well, there was the dream one day with my listeners, because I played music at the end, that we were going to have the Mike Music Show. Now, we can't hide the fact that I like food. So there was going to be the Mike Food Show. And then there was going to, so we had this whole list of Mike shows under the brand of Mike Nation. So that was the dream one day. But you got to have a lot of time and be either very wealthy to have the time to do that, or, you know, if you got to make money and live, you don't have the time to do all those shows.
Right.
So anyway, I was fortunate to just do the Mike Tech Show, which was I would call it, started out not just giving tech information, but a form of therapy for myself, and a way to vent from my struggles in the corporate world and share all those problems that were happening, and started doing it. And then I get introduced to Carrie, if we went into the
chronological.
Chronological order. Go ahead. We were 2009.
So let me just start by saying I've always been a computer tech. Nothing frustrates me more than seeing the articles written by journalists who have no idea what they're writing about.
Right.
Right. Because PC tech, that work's gone. It's dead. You can't be a tech anymore. What did you write that article on? If PC's not dead, it's never been, but they didn't stop from writing those articles. I mean, next week they might be writing about the new Camry, but today they're going to prophesize failure for the tech industry. It's very frustrating that it was coming from somebody who wasn't in the industry. So I wanted to voice my opinion on it. And I wrote some articles and things, and that led to meeting an editor who offered me an opportunity to edit a computer book. And I'd never done that. And I started editing it, and it was awful. Like, the guy was writing for word count. Like, one of the sentences that he wrote said, "Let me take you a second." And I'm like, "What? We could remove that entire sentence from the book and you would lose nothing." And after complaining about it, I said, "I don't want to be, if this is my first project editing, I don't want it to be my first project. I'd rather just not do it." And they said, "Well, could you do it better?" I said, "Well, I'm not an author. I've never written a book, but I could write better than this." So the author became the editor and I became the author. So there was no animosity there. That led me to.
And that book was called The Healthy PC.
That's right. Thank you.
By McGraw-Hill.
Yeah, McGraw-Hill, which was, quite an honor, right? And you'd never know I wrote it. I mean, it's really good. The editors, they fixed everything. And I was like, wow, this is like, and it was translated into Arabic and it was translated into Russian.
Wow.
Which was really cool. And so, the book, I was going on promoting it because McGraw-Hill, once they publish it, they forget about you and move on to the next guy. And I'm like, well, nobody knows it exists. So I started promoting it myself, doing computer clubs, talking about it. That led me to a show called Computer America. The guy enjoyed me, said, "I'm looking for a co-host. Would you like to join me?" That led to me meeting Mike by listening to podcasters and I wanted to bring guests on. I wanted to talk to on the radio program, real technical people, not just PR salesmen, marketing guys. And so then Mike and I just formed this friendship and we said, we should do a show together. So we formed TechVets. And I was covering the DEF CON convention, a Black Hat Hacker convention in Las Vegas. And I bumped into this guy. I really got along great with Giorgio, real unbiased, tell it like it is. Even if it's against himself, he writes it honestly. And I really honored that. I appreciate that. And I said, "Who's your editor?" Because he was writing for Tom's Hardware. And he mentioned his editor name was the editor I worked with that started the book all those years ago. And I said, "I've always wanted to write for Tom's Hardware. And I just wanted to write one article just to say I did it." And I ended up writing two, and I'm happy to say they performed well. They were translated in a bunch of languages. And I'm like, that's it. I'm out. The editor's name was David Strom, and I still bump into him in the same circles. And it's amazing, how these friendships that we develop, how they can come back around in ways you don't expect. And then we had a sponsor that wanted to give away a computer and parts to build a computer. And I said, "Well, we may not have listeners who know how to put a computer together, and there's no good YouTube videos on how to do it. So how about if you send me the parts, I'll make a YouTube video on how to build a computer the way I think it should be filmed. And then we'll give it away." And then about a year later, I got a check in the mail from Google for like $100 and change. And I'm like, well, what scam is this, right? This isn't real. And it was that video that Google paid out. And I guess you had to make like $100 minimum for them to cut you a check. And I went, I got to make more videos. And so that's what I do now. I make the videos on YouTube and do the tech bets with
the start of your YouTube channel, which now has over
250,000.
261,000.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I got a long way to go to catch up with some of the big YouTubers, but
like 20 million views. Yeah,
very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, who knew, right? I was just hoping to connect with others like me. I always kind of grew up feeling very alone and different. And so from a kid who grew up with no friends to like having 261,000 virtual friends, what do you say? It's wow.
Say thank you and keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I it encourages me to do more. That's right. The bad part, right?
Good.
So for the people.
and we love that. And so turning over to Matt Rainey, you were part of the first rendition of Podnuts Pro. Do you remember how that started?
I do vaguely in my own way, which I'm not sure how accurate it will be. But what I remember was listening to Podnuts daily back when Steve Cherubino did it.
Right.
Listening to Mike Tech Show. But there really wasn't much else that I could find related to people who do what I do. Mainly business support. Wasn't much out there. I was on Podnuts Daily a few times, and I remember thinking, I can do this for business support techs. And I actually had to convince Steve Cherubino to let me do a show called Podnuts Pro. He didn't think anyone would listen to it. So we started it, and it started off the first shows. I wanted to take it from the very beginning. I think we did a show on how to build a server, explaining RAID arrays, just very basic things that entry-level techs who are supporting business should know, assuming that they're starting from ground zero. So that's how we started. Then Steve didn't want to do that show anymore, so I did it with Steve originally. Right, and he was the host, and I was the...
You were the talent.
He was the MC, yeah, and I was the talent. Thank you. I've never been called that. Okay. But then he got tired of doing it because he said it was over his head. He felt that he wasn't contributing anything. So that's when, I don't know if you remember Lalo. Yeah. So we started doing that. And it was great. Just kind of, we both got too busy. And actually, Steve, during that time, actually tried to get me to go for Podnuts Daily. So I don't know if you remember, I hosted Podnuts Daily for a little while.
Yes.
That was too much.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
To me, I remember it being not good shows. But I told him I couldn't do that. I'm going to concentrate on Podnuts Pro. So anyway, we did it with Lalo. We both got too busy and it stopped for a long time.
Yes, it did.
Even though I would get emails constantly. Bring the show back. At conventions, people would tell me, when you come back? And I'm thinking, never? Because I don't have time? By then... We met
in 2015.
Was that
in Chicago?
Chicago.
At a CompTIA event, which both of you were also at.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the genesis of you doing Podnuts Pro.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. So I came to the podcasting game a little late, even though I had been in business since 97. I pretty much stayed local and did not congregate with other technicians. When I started, technicians in my area did not want to share information with each other. We all considered each other competition. And even though I started a group of other techs that I met, other business owners, we would meet like once a month to see if we could, you know, share and help each other grow the business. And at one point we even talked about all joining forces, but we quickly realize none of us wanted to give up control of our piece of the pie. So we stayed friends. We give each other business. And around 2006 to 2008, as the landscape changed and we started to be able to do things like remote support and I started to get rid of my techs, I needed to find ways to do my job better and faster by myself. And as I started perusing the internet looking for help, I came across TechNibble. I came across some podcasts and I would listen and I'm like, I don't have time to listen to a podcast. And so I had heard a lot of these shows in and out. And around 2013, I really started listening. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but I actually emailed you guys on a Tech Vets episode.
Ooh, did we read it?
You read it, and you wrote back and said, sorry, we like things the way we are, leave us alone. No,
that's the right response.
That sounds like Carrie, though.
But I started listening, and it was about the time that you guys were regular, and then you kind of slowed down, and that was the start of that. Mike, you were still on.
Right.
You had, Matt, had stopped doing the show. And in 2013, 2014...
You would appear in the chat, and I never made the connection
right
of who you were.
Yep.
Oh, you're right.
He was MS Small Biz.
No, I was... at first, I was Uncle Marv, and then I was MB Systems, Inc.
MB Systems. That's right. That's it.
And then that was around the time that you, Matt, stopped doing your show with Lalo, and around the time that Steve Cherubino started wanting to sell Podnuts. And then shows started disappearing. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just starting to listen because you all were people that were very similar to me. Not that we all did the same thing, but we were all of the same mindset. And I'm like, I can learn from these people. But then I started thinking, well, wait a minute. I can be on the shows too. And so I contacted Door when all the shows had kind of started to disband and Jeff Halish had just started doing The Daily Show. And I said, okay, great. If he needs help, let me know. Of course, the next week he contacted me and said he needs help with the show. So I appeared on that show for a while on the live show. And that was around the time everybody was saying, when's Rainey going to come back? And I said, you know what? I support mostly business. And I thought, well, I could probably do the Podnuts Pro show. So I convinced Matt and Martin O'Bandle to come back. And that's how we started up Podnuts Pro.
You know what I will say, and this is for those who still do active podcasts like you, Mike, Carrie. I can tell you when I was doing Podnuts Pro, we did not get emails. Very rarely did we get emails.
You didn't offend people like I did.
Well, it wasn't emails of any kind, positive or negative.
Mm.
So when podcasters say, hey, email us, let us know you're listening, you really need to, because one of the reasons I stopped was because I was getting no feedback. And I was, getting too busy. And I thought, well, I'm too busy. Something needs to go. I'm not getting any feedback from Podnuts Pro. So I assume no one's listening.
Mm.
So that is one of the reasons I stopped, because there's no feedback. So when podcasters say, don't forget to email us, email them. Just say, hey, I'm listening. Good show. Thanks.
That does mean a lot.
That does. And I have been very, very fortunate. I get a ton of email. Now I it's tapered off. In the beginning, it was overwhelming, and then it just, you know, but I still get regular emails as I read them each week, you know, and I love it. We keep them coming.
And I was surprised when I stopped the show, when I would go to conventions, CompTIA, I was surprised at how many people came up to me and asked me about the show. And I thought, I didn't realize people even remember that show or that many people listened.
That's what Carrie and I were talking about today. Yes, last night when we had our session and we had like a podcasters ask me anything session last night. After that was over, many people came up to Carrie and I saying, we need more Tech Vets. You guys got to keep going. And it does motivate us because we had so many people asking us. That's going to get us, you know, that motivates us to get back and get on the horse and, you know, keep recording. So you're right. You need that feedback or you feel like, why are you doing this?
And that was a time at Chicago when people kept asking me and my wife was there. And she said people came up to her and said, you need to tell him to do the show. So they were even coming up to her, and then this is the time he wanted to get involved with Podnuts Pro. Okay, you know what? If I have somebody that wants to do it, you know, I heard him on Podnuts Dailies. I said, he obviously knows what he's talking about.
So why did you, what happened?
With Podnuts Pro?
Yeah.
The first time?
No, second time.
The second time. Why am I on it as much?
Why you're not on it as much?
Mainly scheduling.
Okay.
Busy.
All right.
I don't want to hold up Marvin.
Well, that was one of the caveats when we decided to bring back the show. It's something that we had to commit to on a regular basis.
Yes.
That was something that I recognized, that if we're going to do it and people are going to want to be engaged and listen, they wanted regularity.
Yeah. And that is true. If you don't do it regular, yeah. We've been very fortunate, Carrie, and we've had long gaps where people thought we were pod faded. Then we came back and they're like, yay, they're back. And, you know,
remember,
we've been very lucky.
But you two also have other venues. You right. still have the Mike Tech Show. Carrie has a YouTube channel. Exactly. So they still hear you.
Yes.
They just don't hear, didn't get to hear you together.
Right.
So that, you know, there's still an association there. When Matt was gone, Matt was gone.
Right.
And so they loved hearing, you know, Matt Rainey's stories. And
it was a good way for Marvin. Marvin was going to do the show no matter what. If I came back or not, he was going to do the show.
Right.
I think you asked Dore if you could do it.
Well, but Dore told me that it was Matt's show.
Right. So, okay. And I had no problem turning it over because, like I said, obviously he knows what he's talking about. And he has much more commitment to Podnos Pro than I ever did. The things that he's done with it, I think it's pretty good.
Well,
so it was good that I came back and I had time for it for a while and kind of passed the reins over.
Yeah.
And it's good that you come back every now and then. I mean, I have to twist your arm sometimes, but
I'm glad somebody's doing it.
Yeah.
Twisting his arm?
Yeah.
No, it's great.
All right. So now that we've done that, let's talk about the weekend here. Now, I want to start with you, Carrie, because the last time we actually saw you at a convention was in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. I'm not a big convention guy.
No?
I'm good on a stage. I'm good in front of a camera. But if you put me one-on-one in a room full of people, I will go stand against the wall and wait for people, if they want to talk to me, to approach me. I'm really awkward. I've always been.
All right.
So these conventions, and I'm self-employed, and if I'm not at home making money and I'm somewhere at a convention spending money, I have a little anxiety if anything happens and I'm so far away from home. I have that anxiety that I'm spending money and I'm not making money. And so that's the problem nobody told me about being self-employed, is you don't get to clock in or clock out. I clocked in about nearly 30 years ago and I have not clocked out. In fact, this trip right here, this is going to be a total of 3 weeks from me. This is the longest time off I have ever taken in 15 years.
I don't know how you are handling that. And
not well.
Okay.
I mean, I'm handling this now very well.
But right. But
that's
always been my fear. And I did that for so long that I couldn't travel or take that trip. But now at least having someone back there holding the farm together, you know, while I travel,
right.
It takes a lot of stress off me. Like even yesterday, all day, I'm flying and getting here to Michigan. And then we're meeting at 7-8 o'clock at night still, and my son was working, taking care of stuff and everything.
Well,
and it just made it takes the stress off and being able to do this.
And that was a key factor for me. This is my home. Michigan is my home state. Yeah. This is where I am from. These are my people, everybody here. They're kind to one another, not like in Phoenix. The food is all good here. If you're from Phoenix and I've offended you, good. You had it coming. This is my home. So, and then I get to see my friends, my peers. You're more than friends. You're people. I look up to all of you. I mean, you're telling me you came into this in 2015 and you're doing a better job. Sorry, guys. I think you do a better job than all of us. I mean, you're the one bringing all the equipment. You're the one configuring, making this possible. And on top of that, you're doing what we're doing, but we have all the excuses on why we're not doing all of it. But you are. You're setting all this up. Mike, the first time I really felt like I met you was at the Mike Tech Show, 500th show thing in Philadelphia.
No, he wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
Didn't you? But he helped you. He helped.
No,
it wasn't Marvin.
No, it was someone else that actually helped me with the sale.
See, now, I thought I'm
just that good that you think I'm
that's what I did.
Because that was 2013, you know. That was six years ago.
Has it been that long?
Yes. So
I had just started paying attention. I watched the live show, and I probably was in the chat. and doing all that stuff around that time. So you remember me from around that time.
So I didn't remember you in the chat when you mentioned that. Like, it just clicked. I didn't realize.
Let's review the timeline real quick. So it was my 500th show in 2013. 2014, the West Coast meetup, which was CompTIA in Arizona, where you and I did a tech bet.
So bad. Yeah.
No, the heat was bad. They did a great show.
The venue was bad. Yes.
Oh, I like the venue.
You liked Phoenix in August.
In August.
Well, I'm from South Louisiana.
Oh, well, okay. Damn. Okay. That explains that. Okay.
And then, no alligators.
And then we did Chicago in 2015. Then we did Unconvention 1 in Toronto in 2016.
That was too far for me.
Yeah.
Unconvention 2, 2017 in D.C.
Still too far.
ITO Compass in 2018, and now the TechCon Unplugged 2019.
And I like this one better than all of those. Well, the Mike Tech show.
I agree.
Out of all, 500 show was good.
500 show was amazing.
But that wasn't a convention.
For a first show putting together, like, who knew what would evolve? You know, just a meetup that was. And that was
Genesis for a lot of what followed. If I remember correctly,
Corey came
that
down
was,
from,
you know, there had been other like small little meetups, but that was probably the first big meetup for a community.
It was.
I just want to clarify, because I'm not confused and I'm not giving you too much credit. You set up, you brought all the audio equipment, right? Like when they're talking on the microphones out there, is that all you?
No. Some of that is here from the hotel. Some of that is Jeff Hallish.
Okay.
Because he and John Dubinsky live here in Michigan.
Right.
I'm not lugging all that stuff up.
I thought you did.
No.
No. Well, never mind. I take everything I said back. Never mind.
I brought the music, and I brought the recorder.
Okay. But these are your mics.
Yeah, these are mine.
Yeah, this is his
portable. This is all happening.
Yeah, this is the portable setup.
Let me rephrase. What we're doing now is because of you.
Yes.
If you hadn't have brought this equipment, we would not be doing the show right now.
Tonight's show.
He's that conscientious. I'm not anymore.
So we'll just edit out that. We'll just edit out that whole thing. I screwed up.
You don't listen. We don't edit.
I know. Yeah.
And don't forget the room too, with the conference table.
Everything. Yeah, it's perfect for this.
It's perfect. So
yeah.
And thank you for making it possible. And thank you for.
You are welcome.
And I'm glad he travels with this, because that's why you got a special show with. Way back with Steve Cherubino, Marv, and myself. Actually, you and I have done two in Florida. And I'm crossing my fingers. We could be doing one in October. So here's the thing.
Here's the reason I did this is because you never know when the opportunity is going to arise to do a show with somebody, whether it's another podcaster, whether it's with a vendor. And, you know, I might have a surprise show tomorrow. It's something when I committed to doing this. Now, the first year when we first started back up, I was a little worried. I was a little nervous. And of course, it showed in the quality of the shows. But in the last year and a half, it is something where I've said, you know what? This is something that now you talked about getting feedback, you know, and emails and stuff. That is something that has really started to happen. Of course, sometimes it's weird, crazy. You know, hey, you need to do something about Star Wars, because why don't you watch Star Wars? Or your show sucks. No. Why do you do this? Or why don't you have this vendor on?
My classic. The only time I got hate mail. So my first year, and all my tech show listeners know what this is coming. So my first year, it just so happens my show fell on April 1st. So I get this great idea. My wife, who's the shyest person in the world, I put the mic in front of her and I said, do the Mike Tech show, but say you want it to be about cats, and you've taken over the show and it's the Mike Cat show. And only I'm Dorothy and I took over, and I had a sponsor, Nitro Security, and I gave her the script. And in the middle of the show, when she's talking about cats and everything, she reads the Nitro Security ad, and it was awesome, and then kept going. But when I look back at that, I never got off the hook. Like, I never came on or said, oh, this is a joke, April Fools. I just let it go. I got hate mail saying, I don't want a cat show. I don't want to. And I was like, oh, don't you have a sense of humor? Don't you get it? And I was like, they didn't get it. I actually got hate mail because they thought I gave up the tech show and it's now going to be about cats and my wife is doing it. So and I'm like, wow. So anyway, go ahead.
Do a show about cats and you get all the mail you want. Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. I thought when you said, you know, you're getting emails.
It's funny. Yeah. Some of the emails I get are pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
it happens. You know, there's just some more Star Wars shows. We'll get more mail.
But you know what? I'll take it because it's like any publicity, whether good or bad, it's publicity, man. You know, I want the email. You know, we want the feedback. You know,
I want nice feedback.
Yeah. But what I've told everybody is, look, if you don't like the show, tell me how to make it better.
Yes.
You know, if you want to hear certain things, you need to email.
Yes.
And let me know. And that's how we started getting sponsors and vendors and partners. And that's the only, because otherwise I'd just be up here talking about whatever I wanted to talk about, which I mean, I still do. You know,
it's your show. I will say, and it's something that bothers me, even though I do it myself. When I listen to my past work, I cringe. I go, oh, so bad. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we all do that. And I'm telling you, you guys on your early shows, it wasn't as bad as you think it is. Like the way it wasn't that bad. And I would hope that as we continue to do it, we improve. No matter how good we are, I think we'll look back even on this and possibly cringe. As long as we continue to grow and improve, I think that's normal. And I don't think we should apologize
for it. And I'm my worst critic. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely. You know, I will beat myself up if I hear myself or see myself.
Well, somebody was giving me feedback today that actually was good feedback. And then they actually made a comment about somebody who'd given me bad feedback. And I had to remind them, you know, what people don't realize, the shows are free.
Right.
Okay.
Karen, one. You say that.
Yes. And for the most part, you know, we're not professionals. Now, Kerry, you obviously were on a radio show, so you have a little bit more.
A little more. Yeah.
A little more. I've got more airtime.
Yeah. But I mean, me doing your show, come on. I had to like email Dore and say, hey, what do I even need to do to put on a podcast? I had no clue. So this has been an evolution of learning how to do a show. And trust me, I'm not making money from this. I have my day job for that.
Right.
But I'm still providing as best I can. Now I'm asking for support. I'm asking for sponsors. A lot of it is to pay for equipment.
Yes.
You know? I got to, pay for the recorders,
I was very fortunate. I got sponsors extremely early in the beginning of the podcast evolution where nobody knew quite what to do, how to measure, and I seized the opportunity. There was a section of shows where I think I had four sponsors at one point. I had GoDaddy, Nitro Security, Citrix. And so, I mean, I made way more money in the beginning, and that helped feed the equipment.
Right.
Where now it's, you know, please use our Amazon link. You know,
Mike's strength has always been his audio quality. Not to mention the content's good, but sometimes it was frustrating, especially early on, where we would spend way too much time. Mike would spend.
I'd kill on the audio.
Adjusting the level.
It's not good enough.
My keyboard's too loud when I type.
Yeah, you know. I'm typing with purpose, Mike.
Yeah, and so that was a little bit nerve-wracking at times, but when you listen back on it, you're like, it is clean audio, I do admit.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make up for some of the content, but it's nice, clean audio.
That was the beginning, and which you had to have good audio, and you had to do it regular, no matter what. And here's what changed things for me, and it got me to do it regular. See, a podcast was... you can record it anytime, whenever you felt like it. Until one of the founders of Ustream reached out to me and said, hey, we need content on this new channel, Ustream. Can you do your show Thursday nights at 7:00? And I'm like, oh, yeah, but who's going to want to watch me record an audio podcast? And he says, come on, don't worry. We'll put you on the front page. And you know what? A lot of people I found. And that was interesting. So now I'm like, now I got to do it on a regular basis. I'm like, they're promoting me. They're saying, so there was a reason to even keep going besides the listeners. But now I'm in a problem because Carrie's gotten so good with the video. And with tech meds, I got to move up. Now, as I would beat him up on the audio, he can now give it to me for the video because I got to up my game for the video so we can match. And that's like my next hurdle because now everybody wants video.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody, you got to do video. Yeah, I'm an audio guy. All right. You know, I like watching myself on video.
Times they are changing. Yeah.
Well, that surprises me because I listen to podcasts mainly in the vehicle.
Right. At any time.
I don't watch any video podcast.
Yeah, me too. I listen. Especially on the road trip. I download a bunch of podcasts from in the car.
But when you're live and putting it up on YouTube or
you get the channel live.
I want it. People are begging me to post it to Twitch because I haven't been doing that. I record live on Twitch, but I don't post the video there. It's people want to come to that and view it. So
and there are some shows
you better have good video. Yeah.
And there are some shows that make sense to do visually.
Yeah, ours does not.
So
people still want it. For some reason. Yeah. Well, I mean, they want to see us.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we've talked about, I've been talking about trying to do this Floop live show because I can show the product on a video, but I'm, you know, having scheduling difficulties. And of course, you know, the company that, you know, used to own the company, that bought Floop is now changed. I mean, that there's all these logistics that come into play. So I haven't had a reason to do another live show, but I'm going to start doing a few. I'm not going to do every show live, but things are changing. People, you know, it's one of those things where there are certain things that will work live with a video.
Just real quick, I have YouTube videos where my audience is saying, you need to go live. You know, I'm never going live, guys, right? Because you hammer on me every little mistake I make in editing. I couldn't even imagine what the cost is going to be to get the equipment to do this. It'll never happen. 6 months later, welcome to my live broadcast, show number 600.
Now here's why I have to do live. And my listeners demand this. It's the chat room. And I feel like it's a weekly user group meeting almost of listeners where I will read an email with a problem and maybe I'm asking for help. And all of a sudden the chat's coming up with answers and I'm like, I pause. And then talk one-to-one with everybody that's watching it in the chat and then unpause and continue the audio and say, well, from the chat, you know, Marv recommended this, somebody recommended, you know, and start to, you know, and so it's more interactive live, which there's an excitement about that, you know, that makes it.
Well, when you look at your content, you're telling stories from the trenches.
Yes.
And problems that you're dealing with either the day before or that day. So getting answers live makes sense.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Carrie, you're doing the instructional videos, but those don't have to be live.
It's not just instructional videos. The live scamming exposed.
Well, that was, yes, those types of things, yes, they can be live.
And there's people like to see, I think my audience likes to see real. They want to see the warts. They want to see the mistakes. And I used to take the mistakes out in the edits, just like most of the big YouTubers do. And at one point, I left the mistake in. And I said, I'm going to leave this in and show you the difference between a professional and a hobbyist isn't who makes more mistakes. It's how you deal with them. It's not the end of the world. It's no big deal. And I make way too many mistakes. Even now, I just get a little too comfortable and overconfident and just do stupid things I know better than. And I go, look, here's the good side of this. If I'm doing that 30 years in and you're getting started, don't beat yourself up because I still do it and it's no big deal. It's like everybody's afraid of making mistakes and you shouldn't be. And I want to get back to the live thing because I need to bring you on, Matt, so that you can see that shot in the arm that it is. Because I have to tell you, when I say to a live audience, tell me where you're, like, if the audience is slow and I'm not getting a lot of feedback, I go, just tell me where you're watching me from. And this list of countries just boom, 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 boom. And it's invigorating. You're watching Italy, Greece, and Spain.
I never was so motivated than not the last tech fest, but the one before. He had just finished his YouTube and talk and then promoted us going live. And we had 800 people live in the chat room.
But the number means nothing if the chat's only got four people talking.
I know.
800 viewers and four people talking. So when you encourage them, say, tell me where you're watching from, you'll get a lot more. I won't get 800.
No.
But that's like, oh, people are actually watching.
No, but we were, because that was the horror tech story.
The Twilight Zone.
And there was a lot of people really relating to, as Carrie and I would deliver the stories. I want to get back to editing real quick because there's something that, and Carrie doesn't know and is going to appreciate something. I was very, very, very meticulous about the editing because I would get emails, oh, the word whispers where, you know, I double a word or mess up or whatever. So we might record for an hour. Well, that's a 3-hour edit, you know, when you're editing the audio. And you got to have the time. And I never had the time. We'd record a podcast, a Tech Bets, way back, and it may not get posted for a week or two. We polled the audience. Would you rather it live right away and no editing? Like the minute I'm done, I don't do anything unless we knew there was a major, you know, problem with, and I'll go back and edit real quick. But no editing, just do the post-production and get it up. Everybody said live with that. So I have just discovered over the past 2 months with the Mike Tech Show, I am not editing.
It's so much better.
I agree. I'd rather
it's non-edited. I'm leaving everything in. And what I'll do is sometimes I have long pauses. I just clean up the gaps, which only takes a minute or two.
You probably don't even have to do that.
And then I do my post-production, which I have to, and that levels the audio and then post it up. So now I record a show, man, an hour later, man, I get posted up. And you know what? It makes me want to do more shows because I don't have the burden of the editing, which was always, you know, oh, I got to edit, you know.
Right.
Well, and it's going to cause me not to want to do it.
Right. But that's what we did when we started redoing the show is now it took us a little time to work it out where we would record the audio, submit it to Door, and then wait for him to edit it.
Oh, really?
And then I said, you know what?
I didn't know that.
Why do I need to put that pressure on him? I can do that. And it took a little time to get it worked out and stuff. But now probably 90% of my shows are posted the same day or night that I record. Right. Yeah, because I've never gone through, and the emails will tell you, I've never gone through and done that much editing. I will go through and clean up some stuff.
I cleaned up everything.
But my editing is maybe half an hour.
I used to take out all the ums.
I took out all everything. It was, let's say a 40-minute show was 2 hours to edit. And I would, every little thing I would fix.
But just to tell you about the live thing, the strangest thing to me is how many people want to see me build a computer? I felt like it just needs to be done once. Right. We're not building computers any differently today than we were really 15 years ago. CPU still goes in the socket. The RAM still goes in the slot. The motherboard still goes in the case. The power supply hasn't changed. It's the same. And I even had someone tell me, they go, oh, I don't watch all your shows because you kind of do the same thing. I go, I know, but that's what they want. So there is this sort of give and take a little bit where there's the stuff I want to do, and then there's the stuff I know does well.
That people want
to
see.
It's weird to me. Why do you want to see? If I have 14 computers all identical to build, they want to see me build all 14 of them,
even though they're all the same. The video card that you used in this one was different than
I'm saying, like, if I had 14 identical systems to build,
right.
They want to see it. They want to see all 14 identical systems. I don't understand it, but I'm not going to argue with it. Like, that's what I have to do the work anyway. I'll turn the camera off.
We did a great show. Carrie did a custom build, not only for me, but for my youngest son, which he's still using that system. So we did a little twist. Not only did he build it, he filmed himself taking it and getting it and boxed and taking it to FedEx. And then after that, I have the box that I filmed receiving it and opening it because of the video card and some of the things. He did some things for shipping.
Well, let's just clarify this. I asked Mike, do me a favor. Will you film yourself when you receive the box? I want to see the condition the box arrives in. People say, how do you ship a video card, you know, already installed in the computer without it breaking?
Right.
And I said, well, let me show you. Here's how I do it. You know, people talk about putting supports in it before you ship it or leaving the video card out and letting the customer install it. Video cards keep breaking and shipping. So I said, well, let me show you. And I also was curious, what are these boxes looking like going from Phoenix to Philadelphia? UPS ground.
Right.
I'm sorry, FedEx ground. And It looked exactly the same. There wasn't even a mark on the box.
And then we had a little delay. I paused, and then we took it to exactly where Tyler was going to be running it, and I filmed it booting.
Yeah, the first boot.
For the first boot. And that was
so
cool.
So here I am thinking, why would somebody want to film and or watch? Because I ship computers that I build all the time. My customers are in different parts of the state. I ship a lot of computers, and we do dual video, you know, cards.
And you would ship them with the cards installed?
Yeah, I ship.
No problems?
I build the computer the way I want it to be open at the customer so that when my tech sets it up, it loads up, and then he connects it to the network.
Plug and play.
And the dual video cards installed. If we, you know, do double hard drives, or I don't do any special packaging to protect it any more than what the box already has.
People want to see you build them.
This was
people
a custom build. You bought that system. What brand? It's a really a.
But yeah, you but, didn't but build even, it. But even if I do an HP and I do an upgrade and I add memory, I put in a video card, I add extra stuff, it's still the same as custom
but
building.
But it came in a box that was shippable.
Yeah,
that
that's true.
That you know, where this
the trick.
Was all from scratch.
When Dell or HP, they ship you a computer, they got a specially designed.
Okay, so you're talking about like if you get a case head box or something.
Right. You can't ship it
those
in
are
that.
Not, yeah, those are double box.
Flimsy box. Right. So,
okay.
So, and I was explaining how I did that, and people. So what I like about YouTube is people can't deny. I use a leaf blower to blow. Oh, you can't do that. It'll ruin this. It'll ruin that. Well, look, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm doing it. 10 years later, I'm still, just to make a point. Like, right. Look, I'm still doing it. I don't see any bad fans. You're going to have static. You have all these mystery ghosts that are going to hurt your machine. I'm still doing it. So that's why I like video, because it becomes undeniably fact. You can't argue with it because you just saw it. Well, some people still argue with it.
Well, they can say you shouldn't.
For what reason?
I don't know.
What's wrong?
I do it too.
It's working. This is how I've been doing it. If it didn't work, how have I been in business all these years? You know, and
how are your computers still running?
Right. Right. And I do that. And that's the other thing I like to do on my channel. I like to review products and then come back and review them a year later or 2 years later. Let's see how this product holds up. I've got an Intel Nook, an original Nook that's 6 years old. And keep following up with, look, 6 years old, still runs great. Then the question is, well, what good is that if you can't buy it anymore? But the point is that if this is the kind of product this company makes, then we should expect whatever the current products are to be of the same level or similar quality. And furthermore, if there is a break, how responsive was the company? How helpful were they in getting it resolved? I'd like to see more videos. Instead of somebody using a product for 2 weeks and then recommending or not recommending it, and they may not even use it for 2 weeks. I'd like to see somebody actually live with that darn product they're reviewing and then follow up with us 6 months or 12 months later and tell us, do you still like it now?
Hmm. So the same concept that we have when we look at TV shows where they'll tell a story and then, you know, oh, after 2 months, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, why not go back a year, 2 years? Are they still happy? Or is the product still working? I mean, exactly.
Good.
I mean, I haven't thought about doing that because I don't review products. Although, you know, the Fluke stuff, I think, is probably the only thing that, you know, I can say, look, I'm still using this after all this time.
And I get offers all the time to review stuff, and I just delete the emails and I don't take advantage of it until like last week. There was a couple emails, and I was like, I like to look at that. And so I'm actually thinking of putting together a response that says, look, you can ship it to me. This is where you ship it, but I'm keeping it forever because I am not going to return this. You know, I'm not going to take the time and return it because I know a lot of people that do that. And I'm thinking of reviewing it. And I also got my son that can use it. And I got my, you know, so I'm considering that as a segment, you know, as I go forward, you know, to kind of look at different hardware and different things, you know, just I'm curious, you know.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I want to switch gears real quick because, Matt, you've been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back to when you first started Podnuts Pro. And I know you said that you started the shows with just simply some kind of baseline. Here's how you do business support. Here's how you do Active Directory. Here's how you do RAID. As you did those shows and as you kind of you know, I guess migrated into the later shows. What do you remember about, you know, what you did, what people said and asked you to do through to the end?
Well, I did get a lot of feedback at the beginning about the shows on how to do the basic things. And that was pretty popular. So sometimes I get an email, somebody might say, how do you set up, you know, what do you do for DHCP or what do you do for DNS? And I would show the basic settings. So, but once I got through all the things I felt were basic that you would need, I transitioned into just stories. What I did that week, some of the tickets that came in, strange customers. and so it kind of morphed into storytelling as opposed to training.
Right.
I kind of thought that I got people the basics that they needed that. Because I was probably, from memory, 15, 20 shows of the basics. And then we moved to storytelling and what we were doing.
And then bye-bye Small Business Server 2011.
Was that one of the last ones?
That was the last show, yes.
Really? Well, by the way, I still have two in production.
Oh, I still have quite a few. No, it wasn't SBS.
Yes, it was. Show number 80.
Ooh, look at that memory. But I love the stories. And so, you know, the listeners, stories are, I love that. And I always, but if there's a problem, whatever, I was like, okay, the moral of that, this is what we learned, you know?
And I was so busy. I could do a lot more shows if I took the time to write down so many of the stories. Because, I mean, just like y'all, I mean, I probably do 20 tickets a day myself. I mean, I'm on the phone constantly and this stuff. I'm just so busy, I didn't write stuff down. I kind of go through my ticket system and see what I did.
Yeah, you got tickets.
But Print
the tickets. There you go.
But when I read the ticket, I forget some of the nuances of, because the customer sees the ticket entry.
Oh, okay. So I can't put
some of the stuff in there. I could do an internal note, I guess. But
I was, you know, you read my mind. I was going to say, can you do an internal note that like other techs can look at, or somebody say, this is a problem client. You've got to treat them with kid glove, or you got, you know, that internal note that the client won't see.
Yeah. So most of the ticket systems is the checkbox to make it internal. And if you don't check it, it might go somewhere you don't want it to go.
Okay.
Or it might print on the invoice, or be careful with. I tell the techs, my techs, don't put anything in internal notes that a client can't see.
Okay.
It's meant for us, but if you don't check this box and they see it, I don't want them. Nothing in there should be that bad.
I'm always using Evernote for my notes. As a matter of fact, Marv was sitting beside me today during the sessions, and I'm like taking massive notes. And then I summarize for myself how I'm going to do my next show. There's things and links from what I learned here that I'm going to talk about next week. So that was, but I live in Evernote for that. Exactly. I always have the next show number as a note in Evernote where anything that's happening, my son tells me a story from a client or something, and I'm like, well, hold on, let me get that, because it's just all material.
Yeah. Well, I think the listeners like the stories more than, I mean, I think there was some base that liked the introduction stuff, but there was quite a bit of base that already knew that stuff.
Right. Right.
And that group liked the stories more.
Well, the stories are basically a sign of misery loves company.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
shared pain.
Well, okay. So, and one reason we moved to stories is because, as you know, your significant others probably don't care about your day to day.
That's right.
Right. IT it's stories.
Right.
So, if you want to get it off your chest,
it's
better to do it on the show, because I can tell my wife and I know she's not listening at all.
But it also works the other way. I can't tell you how good it made me feel.
Yes.
To hear your misery about that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you would appreciate it. Through it.
My wife doesn't care.
Right. So I'm saying it works both ways. Yeah. It might feel good for you to vent. It feels good for me to hear it. Right. So I was like,
And in tech vets, I enjoy Carrie venting on clients that mistreated them or did something, you know. I'm sorry. I just took the pleasure, but I enjoy, you know, what's wrong with us? I enjoy that.
And I do enjoy that too. So I can see it now. I do enjoy those misery loved tech miseries.
No, I just want to, just out of curiosity, it's unrehearsed, unplanned, unscripted. We represent four different states around this country. Mm. How is your PC business doing today versus how it was doing, say, a few years, let's say 5 years ago? Are you busier or are you slower now? Because, you know, the tech industry's dying. PC repair is going away. Everybody's buying smartphones and tablets, right? That's what every, you know, people on the internet say.
I have sold more PCs in the Philadelphia area and suburbs than I've ever sold ever.
This year. Matt?
We're pretty steady. There was a time when the oil field kind of fell off. So we had a I won't even say a drop. There was a time when companies were trying not to spend money a few years ago. That's picking back up. So between now and 5 years ago, I think we're probably a little bit busier. Because 5 years ago, when they got the stuff, then they had the downswing. Now that it's going back up, it's time to replace all that stuff. So we've actually been very busy lately.
For the most part, everything's the same with me. I mean, most of my clients don't change. That's probably a little different than other companies. My customers have been with me 10, 15 plus years.
But do you see an uptick? PCs?
Well,
replacing them?
I mean, the uptake really right now is only because of the Windows 10.
Right.
But in terms of my refresh schedule, that pretty much has been the same. My customers know that they're going to replace their PCs every so often. So again, because they don't change, it's a constant cycle. The uptake for me has been the additional add-on business that I can do with existing clients. So, you know, probably 5 years ago, I wasn't doing as much 365.
Right.
I started doing Datto for backup. Just in the last year, I'm doing Freedom Voice phones. Right. So these are all new services, but to the existing customer.
Cloning to solid state drives.
Cloning to solid state drives.
Yeah. Now, what about you? You asked the question. What are you saying?
I'm actually, well, for me, it's a little different because as I had retainer clients leave for one reason or another, normally I'd go out and start knocking on doors and try and get that business back. And I was going to ask you, are you just not looking for the work because you're busy enough?
So I take a much different approach than a lot of companies. I am very comfortable where my business is.
Yeah.
And because some of my clients are actually growing, so I'm actually expanding my business with my existing clients. I had my largest client right now is a client that started with under 70 users that are now 195.
Okay. Well, so you're growing with them.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm saying, so you're not actively seeking more.
No,
you're
but
happy
I,
with what you've got.
Well, but here's, I'm not actively looking, but I do have consultants that I work with. So most of my clients are lawyers and I have two legal consultants that they will, you know, sell and train the software. So any new opportunities they give me. So I'm not going to say that I'm not growing with customers. I do get, you know, one customer a year, but for me, I'm getting a customer that is 30, 40, 50 seats.
Okay. None of us are wondering if we're going to eat tomorrow, right? I mean, we've got regular stadium. We've had it for years.
Right.
Where I'm a little different is I hit a fork in the road and I said, I either need to use the time I have now that I don't have these retainers to focus on making more YouTube videos and see where that can take me, or focus on the business and just keep the YouTube videos as a side hustle, you know? So not a hustle, but just a side income, part-time income. I don't want all my eggs in one basket. Like I had one retainer client that wanted me there like 30 hours a week. And I said, no, I can't. I said, you need an employee. You don't, it kills me to do that. Right. But I don't know what else to do. My fear is then they're going to want 35. Then they're going to go out 40. Then I'm basically an employee. I'm not self-employed anymore. And then they can dictate what they're going to pay me. And if I don't like it, I won't have a job. So I like to sort of spread out a little bit. Maybe the YouTube thing's a fad. So I don't want to give up the retainers. So I don't have as much time for more business. So I guess what I would say is I'm busier than I've ever been, but I have fewer clients now than I've ever had. But now my YouTube channel is bigger than it's ever been. So it's sort of a
balancing act.
Matt and I are going to respond to your comment because we both made faces at the same time. And I think we're going to come at the same. you wanted to walk away from 30 hours. May all of my retainer clients want me on site at 30 hours
a
week.
But you have an employee. You
have one, and I would expand because now I got the now I have the base and the reason to bring on other people. And
I want to do everything myself.
But here's the thing, Carrie. I'm going to say the same thing because even though I had employees and I've downsized, the reason I was able to downsize is the big clients like the 195 I talk about, they have an internal desktop person.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to worry about being there on site. But if I get another customer that requires, I'm going to hire. Right now,
and
I'm
using place the body.
Right now, I'm using subcontractors when I need to. But I would hire to do that.
That would have been a perfect opportunity to have him sign a year contract, hire somebody, put him over there. Now you need a year contract because you're hiring somebody.
Right.
You don't want to hire somebody and then 2 weeks later they say, you know what, I don't need him here 30 hours a week anymore. Because you just
you got to get the commitment.
You got to get commitment because you're committed to an employee as well.
So I'm Mr. Negative. I think if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Whoever I hire, I have to go back and fix what they did. Customer's going to call and complain, or they're going to love that person and then make a deal with them and then cut me out of it. You know, when
the contract. You have the contract where then they got to pay you.
Yeah, like but
they
I can't enforce that. I'm not a lawyer. I mean, you can write it up, but if they call you on it, I'm not going to go after it. So if I can guarantee that won't happen, I do it all myself. That means the quality of the work is consistent. That means that you're hiring me and then you don't get me. You're getting somebody else.
They're not getting you, but they're getting somebody supervised by you.
Right. Exactly. Where
and
I'm over watching it.
If they have any issues, they have my number. They can call me.
Right. And they get me and you're getting me and someone else for the price of one. You know, and that's how I would sell that. Right.
What we say is you're getting the whole company.
Right. You're getting the company. Right. And that was how when my son started, in the beginning, there were people that wanted me. And I was like, well, you got me. You're buying MHS Consulting. You're not just buying Mike Smith. You get everybody that works with you. You get the whole organization to solve your problem.
Well, here's how it worked out. Company sold to another company about a year later. And everybody got let go. Three people that company that were on the started their own company and asked me if I would come take care of them. So it kind of worked out.
Kind of worked out.
So I'm only doing
the opposite. Curious, did that company actually have 30 to 35 hours of work a week?
Wow.
Yeah, because they didn't know how to do anything. They couldn't change the paper in the printer. So, yes.
So you wouldn't need, okay, so if it you sounds said like you don't need a high-level tech.
No, there. No. They said it's a Saturday at 8 o'clock at night. It's close to, you know, tax April 15th, and the server's down. And I'm like, well, I'm clear across town. Go into the server room. And let me have you just restart the server. And I have to walk it through that. Hold the button in until it turns off. And then turn it back on. And then it's working. I go, well, there you go. It saved you some time. I didn't have to drive across town. Everybody's happy. No, why are we paying you? I just did your job. Why am I paying you so that you can tell me how to do what we're paying you to do? And I said, well, you wanted to wait and do nothing for 45 minutes for me to get there at Saturday, 8 o'clock at night, so I could push a button. Wouldn't you rather push that button yourself?
And you called me and I directed you on the action to take to get you back.
And they said, so I'm paying you so you can tell me how to do your job.
You want to know how to solve that?
Please.
You get a managed power device, like a Wattbox,
and
you boot it remotely. And that way they can't complain that they did your job.
You know, I figured something like that existed. Tell me a little about that. What is it?
Datto has one too.
Datto has theirs as well. But basically it's called Wattbox. It's from a company, SnapAV provides it.
And how expensive is it?
Well, it depends on the model. There's different models.
Say you want to just plug in a router and a modem because that's the most
optimal. So you have a low end device that's less than $200.
Yes.
And it's just plugged into the basically, Ethernet?
There's an Ethernet plug, so everything becomes an IP. And you can remote into it. And you can have it on your phone or tablet so that you can have a console. You can see. And if you label the ports, you'll know the server's in this port, the router's in this port.
You can actually shut off individual
ports. You can do individual.
See, I would just need the whole thing shut off and turn back on.
Well, you can do that.
Well, you can.
But how long have these existed? Because this is a few years back.
I'll be honest. I think we saw it in 2015.
Yes,
we were in Chicago.
So they gave us a free one in Chicago.
Yeah. So they've been around.
I need to listen
to more shows.
Somehow this got by me. I figured something like that existed. Yeah. But
here's the thing. you know, one or two of those pays for itself.
Well, when your client is 45 minutes away and all you have to do is push a button.
Actually, going back, you know, APC had them. We had them in the corporate world and they would build them into the UPS and in a rack. They had an Ethernet that you could remote in the rack and I could reboot any of the servers.
So I've used APC and CyberPower and I've never seen that.
These are high-end.
Yeah, they're high-end. Yeah, so, but here's the thing. I mean, these are things that I want to bring this back to. Why we're all here together at the conference, where here's, you know, things that are coming out where so many things now are able to be done remotely.
Yes.
By us. That
can you fix my internet connection remotely?
But things like the Wattbox, you can actually have it scheduled where if you've got a customer where their modem is always flaking out and it all it takes is a power cycle once a week, Sunday at midnight, you schedule that socket alone to power cycle, and it reboots that modem, and they're good.
But it you can also set it if the with a ping test.
Yeah.
If the ping doesn't respond, meaning the internet's down, it'll power cycle the port where your modem is plugged in.
How many times? Router. Like, let's say the internet's down. How many times is it going to set that?
Yeah, you can set that.
Here's what I'm saying. Let's say you got a client, and twice a year this happens, where the system has to be rebooted for some reason, right? I can't access it. If the internet's down, tell it to reboot. And I can't predict when it's going
to
happen.
That's why you can set it as a setting to where if the connection is lost, do this.
And that, so
if
the and connection that setting is local on the device.
But here's what I want to know. If the connection is lost because of an outage, and that outage is a 9-hour outage, will it just keep rebooting?
You can set it to try X number of times and then stop. Because you don't want it to keep retrying.
Right.
If the power is out, you will find out that the power is out because everything will be down. Your customer, if you have monitoring set up with an RMM product, like for instance, if my servers go offline, I get a text and an email and I know, okay, something's wrong. But if I get a text from my server in my RMM, if I get a text from my oversee and I get a text from my Wattbox, okay, I know something major is going on.
But then, once it comes back,
then you have everything set to come back up automatically. Most servers have that setting. Your Wattbox will come back up. I suppose
that's true. If the internet's down, it'll just come back up.
Yeah, everything will just come back up.
That's a good point.
Well, if the internet's down and everything else is still up, they'll just stay up.
Right. Until the internet comes back up.
Until the internet comes back up. And then most, you know, but if you have a power outage, which I have had to where the power's been out, but then everything comes back up and and I'll be honest, this happens. I've got a customer in Tampa where their power would just go out at 2 a.m., come back on at 5.
My most recent example was 4 weeks ago. I updated the firmware on one of my client's routers remotely. And when the firmware update was successful, when it rebooted, the modem needed to, had to unplug the modem.
Right.
I had to reassign an IP address. And I had to get back in the car and drive for 45 minutes.
Yeah,
and Wattbox. But how would I use the Wattbox would have, in this case, the Wattbox would have sensed that there was no ping and just rebooted automatically.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I need one of those.
I do, by the way.
Well,
yeah, we are. Well, should we kick it?
Well,
you should get one soon.
You're going to get one soon. Let's put it that way.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, so here's my question.
So welcome to 2015, Kerry. Thank you.
I want to go back to what the client has said, we're paying you to do your job.
Yeah.
This was your example was Saturday night?
Saturday at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay. So you're a retainer client.
Yep.
So what are your hours? We have retainer clients.
Whenever you need me.
Okay, that's a mistake.
That's a mistake I've made too. And I'm still too making. Nice.
I mean, I want
to
take care of the
Our
client.
Retainers are 8 to 5. Monday through Friday, the holidays excluded. Anything after hours or weekends is not covered.
Right.
It's extra.
But I don't want during business hours. I don't want that. I don't want to get in 110, 115 degree weather in that Phoenix traffic. I want to go at night when the office is closed, when I'm in it. Give me the keys and the alarm code and let me go in there at night.
Okay, that's your choice to go in there.
Yes.
I'm saying if the customer calls you with an issue, that should not be covered. In that case, I would have said, here's the option. Not covered. I can come over there. It's going to be double time to push the button.
Yes.
Or I can tell you which button to push and you can be up in a few minutes. And that's no charge. So which one do you prefer?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
was, don't you want to be up sooner rather than later? Don't you want to get back to work? You don't want to be there all night. This is tax season. This is when they need me the most. And if I'm going to take advantage of that and say, well, now I want to charge it double, like, then because I've been hammered that way too.
Well, yeah, because the agreement, I would say, would be 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
See, I've set a bad precedent. So my, I'll say my existing retainer clients are grandfather for thinking that I'm available 24/7, but not anyone new. So I, and my son and I established that this is going to be, now if there's hours that I charge them, then you're 1.5 after hours, after a certain time on the weekends, then you're double time, or if it's a holiday. And yes, I get calls on Christmas Day, Easter Sunday, other, they don't care sometimes.
See, you say that grandfather then, right? But I would say, my grandfather died. Sorry. So you can be grandfathered, but when the grandfather's going to die one day, it's so just like this agreement we had. So we're going to move you to the new
side. I consider it a cost of marketing. I consider rewarding the customer's loyalty so they have no reason to leave. And it's kind of shooting myself in the foot. I had a customer, yes, I did not increase their rate for 10 years, and they let me go. And I said, why? You never had any data loss. You've had no downtime for 10 years, and I never raised your rate. And I did anything. The boss's printer at home needs to be set up. I'll drive over there and take care of it. The guy didn't run a cable in your new office. I really don't do that anymore. I'm getting too old, but I'll run a cable for you. Just to keep you happy so you have no reason to leave. And they left anyway because they felt they could get it cheaper somewhere else, even though I never raised the rate. And I did everything I could to cut corners and lower costs so I could keep that rate. And it still didn't work. That's all I'm trying to say.
So you just talked yourself out of doing it then.
No, I'm saying it doesn't work. Right. I think Matt is right.
Matt absolutely is right.
Well, I think we all have situations where customers change, we change, the landscape of our industry has changed, and we have to find a way to make things fit and adapt. Yeah. And, for instance, I told the story of firing my oldest client at the time after 18 years.
I love that story, by the way.
Because, as much as it was nice to get that monthly check, and trust me, the wife was not happy when I made that decision to let them go. But she had also watched me struggle previous years of being frustrated. And she said, for your well-being, you have to do it. I understand.
See, like my story last time too, I two clients that just stressed me out so bad. My wife was very supportive because I must have been stressing her out because I was so stressed out.
Yeah.
She actually liked that, but they were little, they weren't big. Big clients.
That same client was my biggest retainer, and I tolerated it because they were my biggest. What am I going to do without that income? And you know what? It all worked out just fine at the end, and they left me. So anyway, but that had to be a very, very difficult decision. But I love how it ended, because for people that didn't hear it, that freed up your time so that you could help or spend more time to invest in other clients that did value you in your time.
That made them bigger than the biggest one that just left.
Yes. I mean, I'm doing, better now than I was with them.
And you're happier. You're not stressed out.
Much happier. Right. And I'm able to do these podcasts.
I think we all agree on that. And I think that's why we all work for ourselves, which is, it's about the stress and we can control. And I control that more, where in the beginning, I would do anything for anybody because there's a dollar there. I want it. And now I don't. I've walked away from work. I are not taking it on because I'm meeting a new opportunity. And during the meeting, I'm thinking, you're not going to want to pay me. You're going to be a difficult client. I'm thinking to myself, and we were polite and everything. It was nice. And I'm like, I am not going to work for you.
I had a client that wanted me to build him a computer. I said, I'm not building it. And he said, well, what happened to the customer is always right? I said, I got to support this. And this, you're going to be calling me all the time on this, and I'm going to lose money on the support. I said, if we do this and change this and change this, I'll build it. But otherwise, you'll need to find somebody else. So I've learned to walk away from, see the warnings, see the red flags, and go, oh, this is going to be a support nightmare. It's not enough money.
And you I think Carrie knows because he knows I wasn't that way. And you've seen the change in me even, where I would do anything for anybody. That's the
first time I've heard you say you weren't chasing after every.
Well, you got to be smart. And I think I'm getting smarter now at what I can do. And like being here at TechCon Unplugged, I've made, and I knew this coming in, there was some sponsors that I needed to meet with that I already knew that I want to be a Freedom Voice partner. I knew I was already on the bubble for Synchro. So I needed to be meeting all the different techs here that use it and use those products and needed to interact. So and these are smart things for my business. These aren't difficult decisions. That's going to help me grow my business smarter and even maybe reduce my stress even more, you know, for being able to automate more, which is what I lack.
But I just respect Marvin so much with that story. When you have that big retainer, it's your biggest one. You're counting on that. It's part of your budget for your bills. And to say this, I'd rather be without it and I'll find another way, takes guts.
I don't know if I could have done that.
Well, I'm telling you, it wasn't easy. Yeah. But when you made the comment about what happened to the customers always right, part of what laid the foundation for me to be able to do that is all of the reading and studying that I did. And the book I wanted to pull up, I got it here on Amazon. I'll put the link in the show note. It's a book by Jeffrey Gitomer, where it says customer satisfaction is worthless.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's a bit.
That's harsh.
That's 20 years old, that book.
Yes. It was. I started my business. I started this business in 97. That book came out in 98. So that was one of the foundations that I keep a lot of these books on my shelf.
What is the essence of the book, if you boil it down?
So basically it is, you know, understanding that customer satisfaction is worthless, but it, like it says in the title, customer loyalty is priceless. How to make customers love you, keep them coming back, and tell everyone they know. So it was about building up why customers want to use you and why they want to keep using you. And customers that don't fall into that, those are where satisfaction is worthless. It's not going to do you any good to satisfy them.
Because it doesn't matter, because they're not going to be loyal. Because
they're not going to be loyal.
Mm.
And so you have to figure out where that line is of, do I keep a customer satisfied, or do I keep them loyal?
And you want loyal.
And you want loyal.
In the long run.
You want a customer to trust you, trust what you're doing, and be willing to compensate you for that, and be comfortable in compensating you for that. If a customer gets to the point where they don't value you, and they treat you as a commodity, that's where our industry needs to really step up and say, things have got to change, which is one of the problems I initially had with managed services, because it was something where it got treated as a commodity. Yes, I can do endpoint protection, you know, for $20 a station. And then the tech down the streets, well, I'll do it for $9.
Right.
And you're doing the same thing. But the difference is, what is the support that you're going to be able to give the customer? And what is the compensation that you're going to be able to get so that, as you mentioned earlier, we can eat and sleep at night? I've got to be able to have a house just like the lawyers that I support. I had a customer, and this is that same customer, who years ago, when I went to raise my rates for the first time after 3 years, and I showed him what the rate increase was, he looked at me and he's like, Mavi, I got to eat. And I said, I do too.
Nice answer. Yeah,
I mean, why should I not eat just so you can save money?
And it's obviously an exaggeration.
Yes.
He's still going to
eat. Listen, the difference is he can eat steak and out, you know, whenever he wants. I don't get that luxury, but I do want to be able to go home and, you know, have a nice place to live, have a nice dinner. You know, my wife wants to have a house with a pool.
How unreasonable.
You know? Yeah.
Now, that brings up an interesting quick topic. Matt, are there any books that you have read about the business that you think are nothing?
No, I don't have time to read books.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Well,
It's audible.
I know the books I read more are technical, not.
So there hasn't been any like. The book I know Mike and I both like, The Pumpkin Plant.
I thought the tipping point was great.
I have that book on my bookshelf to read. I'm not ready
yet. Yeah, I've got a book on procrastination I've been meaning to get around to reading too.
Was it Profit First? The Profit same First, yes. is important. That's the same author as The Pumpkin Plant.
Oh, is it? I know about that. And you said
Profit First.
And you said Tipping Point?
The Tipping Point. That's just an entertaining, like learning what the tipping. That's a Malcolm Gladwell. I've read every book that he has. And one of them.
But do you think that's beneficial to techs in a business, or is it just
It's not necessarily. It's tech. It's not a tech thing.
It's just more learning. It's seeing what the tipping point was for a lot of things. Like there's a lot of case studies, like the Lexus. What was the tipping point for? It's cool stories.
Okay, so just sort of.
So it's just
business.
But and then someone took that book and tried to make it how to create your own tipping point, but you can't. It's very hard to create the tipping point. You don't know you had the tipping point until after the fact.
Something
you did all the right things and it went by. And then you learn, like I look back at some of the tipping points for my show, you know, and where they came from. But at the time, you don't know that that's happening.
Well, I will recommend another one that you guys. So another guy I know who's in Florida, his name's Tim Taylor. Taylor Works.
Yep.
And Tim Taylor's got a book. Tim's, I believe, running over $1 million business. He started out of his trunk of his car. And it's, you know, maybe like this, and it's how to start and run a computer IT company. And I think there's, you know, useful information in there for people that want to grow their business. And maybe you just need to consider writing one.
I'm different than the three of you. Y'all are one man. Well, you are two man now.
Two man job.
But I'm one of three partners. We have a lot of techs. So I don't have some of the stresses y'all have with the everything you're doing yourself. So I have the luxury of I work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Mm. Wow. Wonder what that's like.
When I leave work, and I say 8 to 5, I might leave at 6, I might leave at 6:30, I might leave at 5. Okay. But when I leave for the day, I'm done. I don't do any. I have other things that I need to do in the evening.
You guys hiring?
I do things. I have family time.
Yeah.
It's family time after work. It's not work time.
Yeah.
My work time is during the day. Not on weekends, not at night. So
weekends, I'm doing all my maintenance. That's where the RMM is going to save me. So there's a lot of things I'm going to gain more time,
We don't do 24/7. Okay. We have a set time, and when that time is over, I live the other part of my life. So reading all these other books, I don't have time
for it. And you're not a sole decision maker anyway.
No. So reading all those books would take away from my other part of my life that I live when I'm not at work. And I don't have, I rarely have time for that because I'm doing the other part, non-technical parts. I have to separate it. Otherwise, I go crazy.
I think you're very lucky.
Yes.
To be in that position. That you have other people that can step in if you're not there or can't be there.
Other books real quick today, E-Myth, and what was the second one?
There's the E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Yep.
And then he has several books. He's got E-Myth Manager, E-Myth Contractor.
Well, E-Myth Contractor was the other one. I literally ordered them on my laptop from Amazon during the conference today. I was sitting by Marv. I was like, this is it? I'm like, boom, that's it. I just ordered it. That I will begin reading them on Tuesday. They were going to be delivered Sunday. And I'm like, oh, man, no one's going to be home. So Tuesday.
Yeah. And any others you can think of?
That, yeah.
There's a ton of books.
There's a ton.
I never heard of that one.
There's four that you had recommended to me that I bought and was about customer service. And there was
I'll have to go through and look. Yeah, there's a bunch. But so the E-Myths were also books that I got early on because they were a concept of, you know, the E-Myth Revisited, because there was an actual E-Myth. I never got the first one, but I got that one. And it was based on the concept of exactly what I did. I was a tech that worked for somebody else and thought I could do it better. The E-Myth basically is that whole concept of saying a lot of us are good technicians who think we could do it, but we're not good owners. We're not business minded.
Did you read a different E-Myth than me? Because the e-myth I read was a guy who never ran his own business. He told other people how to run their businesses and only told about the successes. Didn't talk about any of the people that he led down into I thought it was not good.
The e-myth?
Yeah, because he didn't actually do anything. Like Tony Robbins is a great, incredible motivational speaker, but what has he done? Like if Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos is going to give a motion, then I want to listen.
Well, here's the thing. To me, I didn't care because the principles and concepts that he talked about, at least I understood. Now, there are times where I will think just like that. I'm thinking, okay, well, if you didn't do it, I don't want to hear from you. That's me. Which is how I think a lot of other techs are and why they listen to us is because they know we've been there. We've done it. You know, I've built custom computers. I don't anymore, but I did.
Right. We built them for a long time, and I'm glad we don't anymore.
But I did in another life, and we'll never again.
But a lot of times when I read, it's just so that I can get a perspective because I did learn through some trials and tribulations that I wasn't doing things right. And so I was looking for anything at the time to figure out, okay, yes, I was a part of Junior Achievement. Yes, I was president of, two companies and we were company of the year, but that was Junior Achievement. And that was in a sense fake, making $1.25 an hour. Okay. But in real life, when I didn't pay the IRS on time, that was a problem. And I'm like, how do I not have that ever happen again? So at the time, I didn't care that he didn't actually do it, which I think if we all look at a lot of the inspirational people that we hear about, that we see on the YouTube,
what have they done?
Most of them didn't do anything. And a lot of them got lucky.
Well, I think luck plays a critical role in anybody's success.
Well, there are certain types of luck where if opportunity is there and you're ready for it,
right.
That's a particular type of luck.
Absolutely.
But then there are things where things fall in your lap.
Sometimes it's timing.
No. Yeah. No, just I disagree with that. I'm gonna quote Arnold Palmer, who just made this incredible putt on the 18th green to win a tournament. And the first question he was asked, he's like, boy, that was pretty lucky. Yeah. And he said, it's funny. The more I practice, the luckier I get.
And that's a concept too. Yes. You have to basically, what we do a lot of times, how many times do we come across a problem that sometimes you don't exactly remember how you fixed it?
Yep.
Right. Right.
But because you've been fixing things for so long,
you get there.
You have an idea of what you're supposed to do. And yes, sometimes you just happen to hit the right key at the right time. But how many keys did you have to hit to get it to the right?
Yeah. So see, you make your own luck.
Yeah.
Someone said, man, I'm unlucky and I don't want to hear.
Right. Yeah. You're not unlucky. Maybe you just quit too early.
Right.
Or maybe you didn't even try because you were waiting for somebody to tell you what to do and nobody was there to tell you. Don't complain.
You and I need to give motivational speeches. That's where we need to make the money.
So when I win the lottery, it's because I knew the right numbers to pick. And nothing to do with luck at all.
That's right.
It's just that I played it a lot.
Percentages.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You could say it's lucky. You could just say it's just numbers.
It's just numbers.
Well, it's both.
All right. So we have actually had a nice little chat here. Yeah. And
very good.
This is, I think, something somebody wanted me to say earlier, that parts of this were recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. Got a couple people here.
People sitting here listening. And I think it's about time for us to wrap up and say goodnight because we have another full day tomorrow.
Yes.
And we all need to get some sleep.
Yep. And I think anybody listening to this is going to walk away. There were some pretty good words of wisdom. I got my money's worth.
Yeah. If not, then get a refund.
All right. So, Carrie Holzman, Mike Smith,
thank you.
Matt Rainey, and Marvin B here, all coming at you from Grand Rapids, Michigan at TechCon 2019. Folks, if there is a TechCon 2020, which I believe there will be, you need to be here.
There's no
well worth the money. We didn't even talk about, the speakers that we've had, the sponsors that we've had. It is a fantastic event, and many people have already commented about the things that they have learned, the stories they have heard, the motivation they have got to go back and make their business better, which is what we're all here to do.
Yeah, this convention has been on point for a self-employed computer tech looking to grow or expand their business. I haven't seen anything like it, so I'm so happy that it's happened. The venue has been perfect. Everything's been great. Weather's great.
Yep.
So everything's been great.
Everything. Yes. Everybody listening, we'll hear more about this.
Yep.
Yep. Throughout the next few weeks.
I think this is the best conference I've been to in quite a while.
All right. And with that, we will all say good night. And gentlemen, thank you once again. And until next time, holla.
I hope you enjoyed that show. We had a great time recording it. And remember, our sponsor, Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com, download the free trial. Remember to use our Amazon link. That really helps us. Thank you so much. I have so much to talk about on the next show. A wrap-up from TechCon Unplugged. I've learned so much. It's incredible. And I have so much content building up, enough for half a dozen shows. I will see you same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.